Parshas Chukas is a very, very fascinating parsha. A whole lot of different things going on, different themes, different stories. A lot to focus on here. But one thing at the very end of the parsha that seems to be very unusual is you find Vayidaber ha'am be'Elokim uv'Moshe. All of a sudden, here we are at the end of Parshas Chukas, which if you've been following along throughout the story of the Jewish people in the Midbar, this is at the very end of the line. This is at the end of the 40 years, when they're almost into Eretz Yisrael. All of a sudden, the Jewish people complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama hel yisanu mimitzrayim, lamas bamidbar. Why have you taken us out of Mitzrayim to now die in the Midbar? Ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim ve'nafshenu katza b'lechem haklokel. Suddenly you have Klal Yisrael is complaining about the man and about the be'er, about all the different provisions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for them. And the question that is raised by Rav Schwab in his Sefer Mayan Beis HaShoeva is a very beautiful question. Where have they been until now? Why did they suddenly begin to complain? All of a sudden, the end of 40 years, when they're almost into Eretz Yisrael, when they've been having the man and the be'er for so many years, for almost 40 years, why are they suddenly complaining about all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided them with? It explains Rav Schwab, and it's such a beautiful insight, and it's so relevant to all of us. It explains Rav Schwab, something changed very dramatically here, and that is, when we get to this week's Parsha, so we find the Jewish people are negotiating with the different nations of the world to try to pass through their land to go and get closer to Eretz Yisrael. They come to the homes of Edom. And as we know, the Torah says later on, Moshe Rabbeinu says in Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Dvarim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav, Elchal Tishburu Me'itam Bekesev, Ve'achaltem, Ve'gamayim Tichru Me'itam Bekesev, Ve'shasisem. Moshe Rabbeinu says that you should go and take the water and take the food and take all that our enemy, all that Edom had, you were allowed to take it. And therefore, says Rav Schwab, until this point when the Jewish people had the man, when the Jewish people had the be'er, they had no understanding that there was something greater, that there was something more exciting, a different kind of food that was even ever going to be available to them. So there was no reason to complain. Suddenly, when they're confronted with someone else who seems to have it better, when they see food that's being cooked in a home, when they see different kinds of drinks in a person's home, then suddenly they turn around and say, hey, why is it that we have been satisfied with all that we've had in the years in the Midbar with the man and the be'er? It is insufficient. It doesn't come close to the experience that the nations of the world had, and therefore they began to complain. And I think this is such a powerful message. Sometimes we can have so much blessing, so much plenty, so much wonderful experience in our lives, and it works well for us, all until we see that somebody else has more. When we see that somebody else has more, that somebody else has something different, suddenly it makes us feel uncomfortable. Suddenly it's not good enough. We go on a vacation, and we're happy, and our families are happy, and everyone's just having a great time. It's until we see somebody else that posts on Instagram, that posts on Facebook, that posts on Twitter, the pictures from their vacation, and we see how they've outdone us, we see how they've done something much greater than what we have done, suddenly it becomes insufficient to us. Suddenly we don't remember the experience with the fond memories that we've had because we're feeling uncomfortable that somebody else did it just a little bit better. And that, says Rav Schwab, is such an important lesson to think about as we see Klal Yisrael complaining at the end of this week's Parsha. The Man and the Be'er were a perfect solution for them. It worked for almost 40 years. Nobody had a problem. Suddenly we come to an opportunity where the Jewish people are encountering something just a little bit different than what they had all along, and suddenly, in a blink of an eye, it all becomes something that was insufficient for their experience. It suddenly became something that they complained about. It suddenly became something that they could no longer handle because they saw that somebody else had something different that they consider to be better than the experience that they had. I'm reminded as I read this beautiful insight of Rav Schwab of something that we read in Parshas Bereishis. We all know the story of Cain and Hevel. A very unfortunate story in the end. Cain has an idea that he wants to offer a carbon. He wants to offer something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was such a beautiful idea. He is actually the one that came up with this idea. Hevel is the one who followed him. Hevel simply copied his brother. My father has pointed out many times, the pasuk says here, Hevel hevi gam hu. Admittedly, Hevel was not the one that came up with the great idea, but in the end, Hevel's carbon is the one that was accepted. And my father has told me on many occasions that you see from here, number one, that you don't have to always be the mechadesh. In order to do something significant, in order to make a major contribution to the world, you don't have to come with an earth-shattering, brilliant new idea. Sometimes you can look around the world, see what other people are doing, take their idea, and do it your way. And that is something that sometimes can be the greatest contribution and the most significant to all them. So that's point number one to think about when we discuss the story of Cain and Hevel. But when you look at that, We know that the story goes that Cain offers his carbon, Hevel follows it, and Hevel brings his own type of carbon. Hevel, in some way, outdoes his brother. Hevel brings from the choicest of his offerings, and Cain did not do that. In the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts Hevel's carbon, and he rejects Cain, which makes Cain enraged. He makes him infuriated, and he goes and he kills his brother, which is an inexcusable reaction. It's an unforgivable response. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he confronts Cain, and he says, Cain, Lama Charulach v'lama Naflu Panecha? Why are you so upset? What is bothering you? And that's a very strange question to ask. What do you mean? You know exactly what's bothering me. I had this great idea. I tried to connect with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it didn't work. You didn't accept it. Of course I'm going to be upset. So what exactly was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's claim against Cain when he said, Lama Charalach v'lama Naflu Panecha? Reb Chaim Soloveitchik writes that perhaps what he meant was the following. Look deep inside of yourself, Cain, and ask yourself a very penetrating question. That question that you need to think about is, Lama Charulach v'lama Naflu Panecha? Why is it that you're upset? What is the root of your anger? Are you upset because you thought you would have an opportunity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have an opportunity to offer him a karban, to become closer to him, to have a deeper relationship with him, and you were denied of that? Then, in fact, you have a good reason to be upset. But is that really the root of your anger? Is that really why you're so frustrated? Or is it simply because you're looking at Hevel and you see that he has something more than you? And if that's what it comes from, then there's no excuse at all for you to be upset. And often, says Reb Chaim, we have to look deep inside of ourselves. When there's something that frustrates us, we have to ask ourselves, why is it that we're bothered? Are we bothered for the right reasons? Are we bothered l'shem shamayim? Are we bothered because this is something that truly should bother us? Or are we bothered because we see that someone else has something different? We see that somebody else has something more. And that is the question that Rav Schwab asks us to consider when we read the end of Parshas Chukas. It's the same question that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik asks us to think about when we read the story of Cain and Hevel in Parshas Bereishis. And it's an opportunity for all of us to think when we live in a community where we all have the opportunity to see people's WhatsApp statuses and everything they're posting on Facebook and all the different ideas that they're having on Twitter, and everyone's posting different things about their private lives, and sometimes it makes us uncomfortable, and sometimes we see that people's shalom bayis is ripped apart, not because they have internal issues, but because they're seeing what's going on in other people's home and wishing the same for themselves. That is something we need to ask very deep inside of ourselves, that question. Lama charalach v'lama naflu panecha? Wishing everyone a most meaningful Shabbos.